They do say that in front there is your root guru, and in front, okay, in this way you can say there is a refuge tree in front of you. You are in the center of this universe. In front of you, the flower comes from there, one flower. And that flower fills whole sky, not small tree, but you think that it filled whole sky. In the middle of that flower, your root guru is sitting. You think that way. It's good, it is useful. And then in front of your root guru, there are the Buddhas of past, present and future. The three times Buddhas are in front of that. On the right side of your root guru, there are Avalokiteshvara, Manjushri, Sai Nyingbo. All the Bodhisattvas are here on the right side of your root guru. And on the left side of your root guru is Mangala Putra, Shariputra, the best disciple of Lord Buddha during the time of Lord Buddha. You think that many disciples, many arahats of the Hinayana, including Mangala Putra and Shariputra, is sitting in front of, on the left side of your root guru. And on the back side of your root guru, you think that all the teachings, all the texts of Buddha's teachings are there, kept on the back side in a red color, and it gives the sound of the dharmas by itself. Spontaneously the sound comes from there. According to certain teachings, they say that the sound of something like that, that is the real vowels, real teachings. So from the texts, the real teaching sounds by itself, naturally. You have to think that way. And above your teaching, the lineage gurus are also there. So during the time of taking refuge, you can think that way. And if you are unable to think all these things, if you are unable to visualize all these things, then there is one way, a simple way. It is not necessary to think all these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas surrounded your root guru. It is not necessary to think that way, but you just think that in front of you, your master, your teacher, or Buddha Amitabha, or you can say Guru Rinpoche, whoever, you think that he is in front of you, and this root guru now, this Guru Padmasambhava, or this Amitabha Buddha, is not only one Buddha, but he is the unification of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. All together, all the Buddhas are included with him. All the Bodhisattvas are within him now. You must think that way. If you think that your root guru is so powerful, he possesses all the wrathful deities or the peaceful deities, everything is united into your root guru, then your root guru is something really very powerful. And you are taking refuge in that Buddha, who is the unification of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And then you promised before him, saying that, I will never do something bad. I will never do anything that is against of religion, that is against of all living beings. I will always help all living beings. And I will always try to do something good to purify my mind and then attain the fully Buddhahood. That is your promise. You have to think that way. Then normally the teachings, the normally the blessings of your root guru will always enter into you. Always is with you. If your intention is not good, if you won't think that your root guru is not so powerful, then it is not the fault of Buddha's teachings, but it is not the fault of Buddha. It is not the fault of the Dharma and Sangha, but it is the fault of your intention. Because of your small intention, small-minded, selfish-minded, then the teachings of Buddha or the Buddha himself or the Sangha, the blessings will never come upon you because of your selfishness. Normally we say that if you have the deep faith, your faith is just like a ring. I always used to give this example. It's not given by me, but it is always seen in the teachings of Buddha. Your faith is like a ring, and your root guru's blessings or his mind, compassionate mind, is like a hook. His hook, your root guru's hook, the Buddha's hook, is always thrown to all the living beings. And if there is no ring of faith, then that hook normally goes empty. So it is necessary that you must bear the faith of ring. Then if the hook is coming from your root guru, it just touches your ring and it will lift you up to nirvana. So when you take refuge, you must bear the strong, firmly grounded faith and devotion. If you have this faith and devotion, then everything, every accomplishment, every blessings are there. Buddha never deceives you. He is always helping you. Now here, when I want to give an example now, saying that Buddha's blessings are always there. It is like a sun shining. It's like a sun shining. Sun shines from the sky. If it is covered up by the clouds, cloud is some sort, say, sun is like Buddha's mind, Buddha's teachings, and cloud is like defilement, obscurations, or the selfishness of the disciple. If clouds comes, then normally we won't enjoy the sun rays down there. It doesn't mean that sun has no power. Sun is always ever brightful. It is covered only by the cloud now. In the nature of the sun is always brightful. There is no any darkness within the sun. So Buddha's mind is always like that, always omniscience. He knows everything. Always awakened mind, enlightened already. Now what we have to do is, we must throw our defilement, we must purify this defilement through the wind of practicing, something like that. If the wind comes, then cloud goes away. Then sun shining is always there. It doesn't mean that cloud goes and sun again started shining. No, it doesn't mean that way. Sun is always ever brightful. When the cloud goes, the ever bright fully is always there. Now, just to blow the cloud, we must practice dharma. We must do something good. We must throw the attachment. We must purify our defilement, dualistic mind. Then only we can blow those defilements of clouds away. If it is cleared, then we can enjoy the light of Buddha, light of sun. The rays of the sun is always there. In that way, when the sun rays is not coming down in the earth, it doesn't mean that it is the fault of the sun. It is fault of something, obscurations below there, the cloud. So in this way, for example, this is also a good example. If I say, it may be very useful. If in this world there are many oceans, many ponds, many lakes, even if we put waters in the cup and take it outside, and then during the time of moonshine, then the reflection of the moon enters into each water. In the mock also there is the reflection of the moon. And the small mug or cup, if there is water, then in that water also we can see the reflection of the moon. But in the ocean also, that is very big ocean, but if we go there and we won't find many, many reflections of the moon, but only one reflection. In a drop of water also, we can find one reflection. If this drop is very clean, then we can see the reflection of the moon is also there. That means Buddha's compassion towards all living beings is equal. No matter how big or how small it is, it doesn't matter. Even the smallest animal, to that animal also Buddha's compassion is equal to those big animals like elephant, big whales in the ocean. To them also Buddha's compassion is equal. It doesn't mean that his body is very big, so Buddha's compassion is very big. It doesn't mean that way. In the ocean we'll see only one reflection of the moon. Now here, if these waters are clean, then we can see the reflections very easily. But if the water is not clean, even though the moon is very near to it, that the reflection won't go into that, because water is dirty. Even though the moon is direct to that, the reflection won't come in that, because it is dirty. So this shows that if our mind is dirty, if our mind is dualistic, if our mind is full defiled with anger, jealousy, passion and like that, then normally the Buddha's blessing won't come, like the dirty water. If it is clean water, yes, the reflection, the moon is always there, reflection enters quickly, very easily, spontaneously, without any effort. So in this way we can say that Buddha's blessings are always there, but if our mind is pure, then Buddha's blessings comes. If our mind is not pure, then Buddha, even though he has immeasurable powers, but his powers, his blessings comes and it disappears. That means it won't work because of the defiled mind. So that is why it is necessary that your intention should be very useful, it should be very nice, it should be beneficial to all living beings. Then your refuge, taking refuge, will be also very useful and fruitful. And whatever you practice, it is beneficial. It may benefit for all living beings. So in this way, it is necessary to maintain a good intention from the very beginning when you receive the vows of the taking refuge. Now here, when we say during the time of taking refuge, if your intention is vast and good, then normally the result and the benefit is also very vast and good. During the time of taking refuge, we said that we must pray to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. We will prostrate before him. We will always remember Buddha and his teachings and the Sanghas. We promise that way. So when we do the prostrations, especially the Taiwanese here in Taiwan, they have a very good habit of showing their respect with folded hand and then bowing down and then prostrating before them, bowing down. It's a good respect. It is a good habit. So now here, when you do that way, I think so it is necessary to say something on that. If the meaning of the prostration, we just fold our two hands here and we take it here first, that symbolizes the body of the Buddha, and we take here, that symbolizes the speech of the Buddha, and we take it down here just on the level of the heart, that symbolizes the mind of the Buddha. That means you said that I am prostrating before you, my root guru, Buddha Amitabha, Buddha Guru Rinpoche, whoever, you are prostrating before them, saying that my body, speech and mind, I want to offer it to you. When you are prostrating, you are saying that I offer everything to you, my body, my speech, my mind, everything. And then you do it, prostrations. There's a two kind of prostrations. One, normally we touch five parts of our body, forehead, two hands and two knees. That means total five parts we touch on the ground. Now this symbolizes that when I do like this, I offer everything to you. May I get the opportunity to attain the five Buddha family, something like that. And I'm doing this with the skillful means. Skillful means the emptiness of all the phenomena and the ever fully awakened wisdom mind, exalted mind. These two are joined together. That means right hand and the left hand. This symbolizes two skillful means and the wisdom. May I attain these two great qualities? And then you just go down and you touches on the ground That means I want to purify this by bowing down. And when you wake up, I purified and now I am enlightened. You just think that way. And then go on doing the prostrations. Now here again, doing the prostrations during the time of taking refuge. You go, as soon as you take refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, then you must prostrate, you pray to him, you offer to him. So you are offering everything now. You are praying to him that until the enlightenment, I will never do something bad. I will always remember, I will practice your teachings. In this way, you are praying also. You are promising also. So, by doing the prostrations, you are accumulating a great merit, virtuous things. Now, when you are doing the prostrations, the intention is very important again. Don't do with dualistic mind or with anger or with passion or with attachment, saying that I am doing this so that I can gain something benefit. Don't think that way. You are doing this for the benefit of all living beings. You wanted to become Buddha. If you become Buddha, then you are very powerful so that you can help many, many living beings. So think that way. And when you are prostrating, don't think that you are alone doing this prostration. But all whole living being is with you. When you cover up the place where you are doing the prostrations, one kind of prostration is doing the stretching all the body, touching a whole body to the ground. Now, at that time, you must think that the place, how much you cover the place when you do the prostration. So under that, there are countless dust. And your body is also made from the countless dust atoms. So you are prostrating, not alone, but you are prostrating with countless beings together. And try to do that way. And if you do one prostration, that means you have done countless prostrations. So it depends upon your intention again. Very important. If you do that way, you have done countless prostrations. And through that you accumulate countless, immeasurable merit. That is also a kind of doing prostration with a good intention. When you take refuge, then you must do that way also. Now, what is the reason of doing the prostration? Prostration, bowing down under somebody else. Bowing down to your root guru, bowing down to other teachers, means that you are surrendering. You know that? Surrendering? Surrendering means you said that you won't attach on you. You left all the attachment, saying that you are destroying your ego. You are destroying your arrogance. If you have ego, then you will never reach nirvana. So ego is the source of samsara. Now ego means, we always used to say, I comes first. Whatever we saw something good things, first I want to see it. Whatever there is a good food, first I want to eat it. Whatever you see, then first, oh, my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, normally comes I and mine, all the time first. Because of that, we are in this samsara now. Because of ego, we are in this samsara. So we must cut this ego now. This arrogance. Arrogance means you say that I am the boss. and you don't want to treat everybody else, your teacher, even though they are learned, you say that, oh no, I am learned than those people. You, if you think that way, then that is wrong notion. That is egoism. You said you have a very strong ego. If you have that, you are not the master. You said you are within this samsara. That shows that you are not enlightened person. So if you prostrate, bow down, doing this, bowing down before any other people or any other teacher, this shows that your ego is small now. This is not important. I give importance to you. I am surrendering before you. I confess that I have done something wrong in my previous life. That is why I am in this samsara. Now I know that. Now I don't want to remain in this samsara. So if you don't want to stay in this samsara, you must cut this ego now. If you are able to cut this ego, then you can reach nirvana. Because this ego is the root of the samsara. So when you do the prostrations, you are minimizing, you are destroying your ego or your arrogance and surrendering before other people and receiving some teachings from them. That means you are trying to go away from this samsara. In Buddha's teachings, we normally say that the more you understand, the more you know the meaning of Dharma, the more you become simpler, become humble. So this is a proverb, something like sayings. If you become simple and humble, respectful to all living beings, treat all living beings as your teachers, as your root guru, then normally you are cutting this egoism. You are cutting your arrogance. You are minimizing all kinds of defilement. You are practicing now. Then through that, you can also help many living beings. So during the time of taking refuge, we normally do the prostrations also. In some teachings they say that this prostration should be done at the time of other practices. But some teachers, they say that this prostration can be done at the time of taking refuge. But there is no contradiction. Both are right. Whichever is convenient, you can do it. You can accept it. But the main thing is your intention. Your intention should be pure, clean, and vast for thinking for the benefit of all living beings. Then your result and the blessings of your root guru will be immense or boundless. Through that you can practice taking refuge. Now in certain teachings, like Buddha Shakyamuni or Guru Rinpoche, they are in a form of Nirmakaya Buddha. Now Nirmakaya Buddha means the emanation, the incarnation of the Buddha Sambhogaya. It comes from Buddha Sambhogaya. And Buddha Sambhogaya is the emanation or comes from Dharmakaya. Now Dharmakaya is like a sky. It's completely pure. And Sambhogaya, for example, Dharmakaya is like a moon. Sambhogaya is like the reflection of the moon in the water. But if there is no Dharmakaya, there is no reflection there. So, Dharmakaya, then comes Sambhogaya. And Sambhogaya is